much lunch. Praise God. Well, if you're visiting with us, a big welcome to you. And just be refreshed tonight. That's why we take time out of our other activities to put this hour and a half, whatever we put aside in the evening like this, just to enjoy the wonderful therapeutic rest of His presence. Amen. Well, I trust that you're going to be a little bit more enthusiastic than this. Well, we got one person that kind of came out of his stupor. Oops, good sermon, Steve. Preach it, brother. Good. No, really, I'm just appealing to my insecurities here. I'm quite happy to speak to those who are deeply just in soaking in the presence of God. So don't come out of your trance-like meditation. Just keep soaking and keep drinking. Amen. And we're going to take up the offering now because they say, no, there's not more generous people than when people are but intoxicated. So we're going to give like intoxicated people tonight. Amen. We're going to give joyfully and happily and merrily, and I'll get the next round. Anybody out there? All right. Oh, I hope so. Did you take a credit card? Run a tab? Huh? Oh, okay, we got something. Yes, thank you, Jesus. I mean, this morning, I was thinking on my way to church, I'll get some cash in my pocket. And I'm not saying this proudly or arrogantly, but I was genuinely happy that I had something to give that's kind of symbolic of my confidence in the message that's going to go out from this church this year. Honestly, I felt like, hey, I want to give somewhere where they're preaching the gospel, the truth, the freedom, and the love of God. Amen. So, Father, thank you for this evening. Thank you that the gospel will be preached. Thank you for your joy and your peace and your freedom in this house. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Let's do that. I want to speak tonight on this subject. I kind of touched on it this morning. Who was here this morning? Let me see. Oh, wow, a whole bunch of us. Okay, worship team, come back up. Let's carry on singing. I'm going to fit in some of the pieces that I left out. So hopefully I'll still have your receptivity. As we stand before a new year, we want to see this local church become everything the King wants it to be. Amen? Amen. And the way we're going to do that is to do what the church exists for, and that is to preach the gospel. Amen? Amen. That is the task of the church. That is why we're here. That's why we have a building. That's why we invite people in to these meetings. Although this is not the church, this is the building. We're the church. But you know what I mean. The activities of this church also exist that the gospel can be preached. And the gospel that brings freedom and a love relationship into people's lives. I was thinking, illustration I heard some time back about what it's like for a person who's forced into a life of prostitution and has to make their living that way, and they've got no other means by which to support themselves. The early missionaries coming to Africa had the problem where there were multiple marriages, where there were multiple wives. That they encouraged the men to only take one wife. They sent all their other wives out onto the street. And the next problem they had wasn't in polygamy, but in prostitution. Because these women wouldn't be taken into homes and wouldn't be married, so they had no other way of supporting themselves and their children. What a tragedy. How sad that is, that a person is forced into that kind of lifestyle. And now if you can just work along this picture with me, imagine the king is coming through the village and he sees the person notorious as the town prostitute, and the chariot stops or whatever he's riding in and he pronounces her forgiven. He says, your crimes will be held against you no longer and you are an acceptable citizen like anybody else. You have every other standing, and you are totally forgiven of all your crimes. There'll be no punishments. You are totally scot-free. Would that make her happy? I think there's a measure of happiness that would come to her to feel that guilt and shame that came off her. But there's only one problem now. When he drives out of town, she's still left with her everyday needs and her life and her need to survive. So what will her default setting be? Fall back into life she had before. So it's great to be forgiven. But it would be a completely different story if this same woman who's forgiven, if the king said to her, I want you to be my bride. Now all of a sudden there's a complete change in her life. It's one thing to be forgiven, but it's another thing to be taken out of your environment, placed in a new kingdom where you don't have to go back into default out of necessity, but you can now choose to live a life that you always wanted to live in the first place. Does she have the free will of choice to go back to her old life? Yes, she does. But does she have to? No, she doesn't. Isn't that a beautiful picture of the gospel? You see, in the gospel, Jesus more than just forgave your sins. That would have been good enough. And that would have been great to have the weight of guilt and condemnation taken off us. But it's a whole different matter that he said, I'm going to put you in my kingdom. I'm going to take out that old sin-prone nature of yours that condemned you to live a certain life because it was fallen and corrupt and dead to me. And under the old covenant, all that happened was we got a governance over us called the law, which pointed out our sinfulness and made us aware that we desperately needed forgiveness through the sacrificial system, which was only pointing towards Jesus Christ's cross, when there would need to be no more sacrificial system because we would be declared righteous and not just forgiven. You see, under the old fallen nature, we were prone to repeat our mistakes. We had the gravity drawing us back into the kind of life we had because it was our default setting. Interesting passage of scripture in Romans chapter 7 says, for a married woman is bound by law to her... Can you see that print out there? Okay, just squint your eyes. For a married woman is bound by law to her husband while he lives. But if her husband dies, she is released from the law of marriage. Accordingly, she will be called an adulteress if she lives with another man while her husband is alive. But if her husband dies, she's free from that law, and if she marries another man, she is not an adulteress. Likewise, so this was the reason for that illustration he gave. Likewise, my brothers, you also have died to the law through the body of Christ so that you may belong to another, to him who has been raised from the dead, in order that we may bear fruit for God. For while we were living in the flesh, our sinful passions aroused by the law were at work in our members to bear fruit for death. But now, we are released from the law, having died to that which held us captive, so that we serve in the new way of the Spirit and not in the old way of the written code. That's a miracle that happened to us when we were born again. We were taken out of one system and placed into another system. And we received a new nature and a new heart, and God made a covenant with us. And tonight I just want to pick up on what I believe is a theme, a prophetic word, just sharing three words with you in the light of this wonderful message we're called to preach. This message that always brings Jesus into the key focus. Because he was the benevolent ruler who looked our way and said, not only are you forgiven, but I'm taking you to be my bride. I will give you a new heart. I will give you a new nature. I will give you a new purpose to live for. And I just want to share 3 points that as we go into this year that I believe are kind of directional of what God wants His church to look like. And the first one is to celebrate the good news of Jesus. Janet and myself, we were invited to go and do a wedding up in Paris. Anyone know where Paris is? Quaint little, not the Paris in Europe, the one in the Free State, the one near Bethlehem, not the Bethlehem in Israel. They couldn't find three wise men. But anyway, the Paris in the Freistaat, it's really a quaint little arty town. And we went along to this 5-star wedding. No cost spared. They hired a resort on the Vol River. Everything covered. It was 5-star accommodation. They, from the Friday night right through to the Sunday, they had a live jazz band playing in the background just for entertainment. I mean, it's one of those over-the-top weddings that you don't even want to begin to think what it must have cost. But we were fortunately invited as guests to do the wedding, and we went along and celebrated with them. And I love those celebrations. I mean, you don't have to spend that kind of money on having a wedding. And all the young girls went, oh. You don't have to spend that kind of money to have a celebration. But we should have a lifestyle of celebration. We should celebrate when we get married. We should celebrate our anniversaries. We should celebrate our birthdays as a husband and wife. We should have weekly celebrations that you unmarried people can just blank out of your mind right now and moving right along. You got to have regular celebrations, celebrating children's advancement through life, celebrating that wonderful day when they actually leave home, celebrating when they have children. Life is celebrating all the key events. And in the same way, as believers, we should be celebrating this wonderful message over and over and over. And every time we have an opportunity in worship, even like we did tonight, part of that is celebration. We are celebrating the good news. We are celebrating our freedom. We're celebrating that He has made a covenant with us that was 100% God and 0% us. Amen? Often we think like in a normal marriage, you know, it's 50-50. I come in 50%, you come in 50, it's equal shares, you know. The covenant that God made with us, God made with Himself. Because you and I would have failed and broken it. So He made a covenant with Himself, took on the form of a body, bled on the cross, entered into covenant on behalf of man, on behalf of God, 100% God, 100% man, so that we could come into a covenant that can never be broken, that can never be compromised. And in that covenant, we are declared righteous as if we'd never sinned. His death on the cross has satisfied the courts of justice. We live in under an open heaven with total pleasure before God all the time. Now we can celebrate that. We can celebrate it daily. We can celebrate it weekly. We can celebrate it monthly. We can celebrate it whenever we get an opportunity, because that's good news. We want to be a celebrating community, because the good news we preach is about Jesus, and that needs to be celebrated. You see, we can't celebrate the doctrine of righteousness. As wonderful as the doctrine of righteousness is, and we can come to understand that doctrine, but Jesus says, you know the scriptures, but they're talking about me. Come to me, because that's where the life is. So we should know the scriptures, but the scriptures lead us to celebrate the one who gave us righteousness. We never get so distracted that we just worship a doctrine or a teaching or a correctness of being able to argue our point across. We should be solid in the word. We should be solid in scripture. But our celebration is the one who did all that for us. Amen. Or else we just get puffed up with pride, get a whole lot of head knowledge, get all our ducks in a row, and then we think that's pleasing to God. He's pleased anyway. He just wants you to come and sit on His lap like that leopard in a tree and say, I'm here to stay as long as I like. Secondly, is discovery. This is a year of celebration, but this is also a year of discovery. Coming back to my analogy of a wedding, of a marriage, of someone brought out of a lifestyle of sin or crime and taken in and given an opportunity, not only with a new start in life, but a new life to start completely, is the whole thing of discovery. This is a year of discovering Christ in us, the hope of glory. The wonderful blessing we have. In the same way that a wife, when she comes into covenant marriage, there's covenant exchanges at place. All hers is hers and all his is also hers. He gets her debt and she gets his credit card. No, that's a little old-fashioned, I guess, eh? Now, they even keep their own names now. You know, that's not law anymore that names change. You know where the name change thing? You know what's Janet Wheeler, not Janet Reynolds? It's because it's got a covenant link to where names got exchanged in covenants. Even in the Abrahamic covenant, Abram became Abraham, took a part of the name of God. Even when we became Christians, you know that is a covenant name? In Antioch, they were first called Christians because they understood they were little Christs. They were Jesus' representatives on earth. They were ambassadors of a higher governance. As Jesus, they took part of his name, Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus was the man. They weren't called Jesusites. That was the man Jesus. They were called Christians because they inherited the covenant blessing of the anointing. They were anointed, set apart, made holy, righteous, sanctified. They understood that, and that's where they became Christians. That's why names get changed in covenant. That's why names in marriage get changed. And part of that whole exchange is now the wife has the power of attorney. Isn't that a great thing? I don't mean you're married to an attorney. I mean you've got the power of attorney. Private joke. What's the power of attorney? So glad you asked. It just means that if she's got signing power, when she signs with your name, it means the same as if you were signing. And if you sign, it's the same as if she was signing. Power of attorney is signing power. And you know that's what Jesus said. He says, when you pray in my name, it's the same as if I was asking the Father directly. So don't ask me anymore. Ask the Father. I think we've got some discovery to make. We've got to discover the riches of Christ in us. This covenant that we are so one with Jesus that when we speak, and we don't even have to use the words in your name because we are in his name. We just do that out of tradition and because then you know when the prayer is coming to an end. You know, like, nah, in Jesus' name. You know people will open their eyes or else they'll never open their eyes. And you'll feel like I did at the beginning of the service. So part of covenant is understanding your union with Jesus, your oneness with him, your intimacy with him, and that it's given you a place of a power of attorney that whatever you declare in his name on earth that's been declared in heaven will be done on earth. So that's how we are ambassadors of his kingdom. He wants his kingdom to be reflected on this planet. And you and I hold the keys for that. Through the power of attorney, through walking in knowing who's living inside of us, whose spirit we've been replaced with. You see, the Bible says, don't look after any man after the flesh anymore, but look at him after Christ. Because there's a new creation species sitting next to you. If that person next to you tonight is born again, they're not the same person they were. They might look the same as they did before they were born again. They might speak the same. They might sound the same. But after the Spirit, they are a complete new creation that's never existed before. Brand new species. Now, Steve, are you saying that means now that I discover Christ in me, the hope of glory, I'm never going to make mistakes? Of course we're going to make mistakes. But you're not that mistake anymore. You know that a butterfly has to go through a metamorphosis from the little caterpillar into the butterfly. That metamorphosis, that renewing that takes place, makes it into a completely different type of insect. It's not a caterpillar with wings. It's a completely new species. Now the butterfly can go and land on in the garden, where maybe its ancestors, the worms, are living very happily. But the butterfly's not happy there anymore because he doesn't fit in with that part of the family. That part of the family on the other side of the track now. He doesn't comfortably live there. He just goes there on Christmas to wish them and give them gifts, and then he leaves again. He just doesn't fit in with their language, and he doesn't fit in with their lifestyle. Because his nature's been changed. He's not the same person he was anymore. Even if he temporarily lands there, you don't say, "Oh, see that butterfly?" No, it's not. You don't call it a butterfly. It's just a born again worm. See all those pretty born again worms flying around in the garden, blue, yellows, and reds and green. No, we don't call them born again worms. Call them butterflies, because they are new species. It's something different. It's something that hasn't existed before. And that's when Paul says, don't look after each other according to the flesh anymore as you were. Look at each other after the Spirit as you are now. A new creation never existed before. Neos, you. Brand new. Amen? He says, that's how you need to be looking at each other. And this is the change that needs to take place. This is our discovery. And yes, we've made some progress. But I want to just challenge you. There's a whole lot more progress to make in discovery. Because that's where our mind is renewed. That's the metamorphosis that takes place. That when we begin to believe, I am as He says I am. That as He is, so am I in this world. We haven't even got ankle deep on that one yet. Never mind knee deep or waist deep. We're not swimming in that truth by a long stretch. We've dipped our toes in the stream of, as He is, so are we in this world. If we realize when Jesus said, I'm going to the Father because you guys are going to do greater things, we haven't even tiptoed into that one. Jesus said, don't ask me, go to the Father. He envisioned Himself multiplied. Jesus is right across the planet. Little Christs. Are you scared of that term? Does that sound a bit like sectarian? I got asked over lunch today by somebody. They said to me, are we like a cult? Yes, why? What problem do you have with that? Now they heard this, what is a cult? So anyway. So before we go there, that's what the Bible calls us. Little Christians, Christs. Because we've got that same spirit that was in Jesus. We've got the same God-given authority that He purchased for us and gave to us. He now says, go and do what I did. But until we discover and our mind is metamorphosed and we're still living in the consciousness of lack and sin and shame, we're never going to stretch our wings and fly like the butterflies we are. At best, we'll think we're just nice worms. I'm a nice worm that goes to church and gets taught how to be a nicer worm. No. We're brand new creatures. And until this catches up with this, we're going to live below our privileges. Like a married woman, until she knows that she's got signing power on that check, she can live below her privileges. And husband says, but I've told you, you can go and buy yourself that outfit. Yeah, but I don't have the money. But you could sign for it. Oh. Thirdly, to demonstrate Jesus to all. So part of what we call to do this year, what I believe called to be this year as a church, or as we preach the gospel, is we to celebrate this wonderful good news. We to begin discovering Christ in me, the hope of glory. And then we need to demonstrate. We then finally need to demonstrate, because this is not just about us or for us. I mean, we could stop right here like that. You know the story I started off with, a prostitute being forgiven. Not only forgiven, she's now coming to His kingdom. She has a brand new life with new privileges and new power of attorneys, and her whole life has changed.
If the king were to say to her, you're free to take what I've given you and go and give it to anybody you want to. If she didn't do that, he would still love her just the same. He would provide for her just the same. He would be as proud of her just the same as your heavenly Father. Doesn't look at what you do for him to give him an opinion of you, because his opinion of you already is Jesus, and it can't get any better than that. So if you never did another thing in your Christian life, he would never change his opinion. He's not grading you on a curve. He's not putting out his blessing at the end of a 40-day fast or a 40-day outreach. But wouldn't it be a bit weird if she didn't take what she had and go and share it with the people? Yeah, no, it would be stupid. Yeah, thanks for sharing that. That would be doof. The world needs to see Jesus. And you are the fifth gospel. They aren't just looking for the Jesus that lived in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. They're looking for the Jesus that lives in the fifth gospel. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, and you. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, and you. Because unfortunately, if we only look at Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, we can also get a skewed picture if we don't understand the context of who Jesus is and who he's talking to as a Jew born under the law speaking to the Pharisees. And we can get a distorted picture of who Jesus is. It's only through a thorough revelation of Christ and his total work and the completed work of the cross that we come into an experience where he's central to our life. And that's people need to see Jesus today. Not just in the pages of a book. I'm happy for the book. I love the book. I study the book. And we should stare into the book until it reveals Jesus to us. Jesus said, you study the scriptures because in them you think you have life, but come to me that you may have life. Imagine if the church was saying that. Don't just study the Bible to try and find the answers. Come to us because we'll give you the answer. We got the answer before. Yeah. Wow, that would be a bit different. You see, the world needs a demonstration of who Jesus really is. They need for us to say, we're going to take this wonderful covenant we've come into with the forgiveness and the kingdom living, and we want to go and make a real impact in other people's lives, because this good news that has changed our condition out of slavery and bondage and being stuck under the law of religion and condemnation, we want to go and make sure many come into this freedom. That's the demonstration that he's looking for. That's why Jesus said, when you pray, your will be done. Your kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. Amen. Amen. And that, the starting place, the greatest miracle, if I can say, of demonstrating is when other people get on to the king's coach and leave their lives behind and are born again into his kingdom. That's a wonderful miracle. The same wedding we did up in Paris, the family, very close friends of ours, the daughter, dear loving Christian, she chose to marry a guy who doesn't claim to be a Christian. And you, whatever doctrinal view you got there, you entitled to keep and have. But we prayed about it, and we felt that we were going to marry them. Oh, you married unequally yoked people. You sinning pastor, we knew there was something going on in this church. Well, the problem is I know a lot of born-again marriages, and they're not exactly what I want either. So anyway, moving right along. Unequally yoked can mean a whole lot of different things. Amen. Sorry about that. I know I just wet some batteries. Unequally yoked can also be to a tongue-talking, devil-reading legalist. Being unequally yoked can also be to a tongue-talking, devil-hating Pharisee. Doesn't make it any more equally yoked. So we've been speaking to the parents, we know them well, and first of all, the parents were happy, and that makes me happy. If the parents were unhappy, it would be a major problem for me. So we meet this couple, we're chatting to them, and I asked him straight on, I said, Why don't you give God a chance in your life to be born again? He's got a he's a attorney, he got a practice up in Pretoria, really nice guy. And she was like in the top Miss South Africa 3 years ago, and she came to the top three and then didn't get top five, sorry, and then fell out. Lovely girl, stunning couple. Their friendship circles, you can see, they just socialize with the top. He was a springbok in a certain sport. I don't mention it here, but a lot of his friends and that were there are all very well known springbok athletes and very real yuppie environment. So I'm sitting with him and I chat to him about it. And I sort of just felt to share the gospel. I just shared about the good news. And he listened, and afterwards we prayed, did the wedding. They partied until 5 in the morning. Wow. I forgot how the other oaks can party, eh? Puts us to shame. We're like, 11 o'clock trying to fit in with the party, like, da 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 da. And they're like, wild until all hours of the morning. I'm like, I'm going to sleep now. I'm tired. They get back from honeymoon. They get to their home. They walk in. He says to Rox, she's Rox, Roxanne. He says, Roxanne, I want to just commit our house to God before we go in. She says, oh, well, this is different. He's never done this before. He says, dear Lord and heavenly God in the heavens above, thank you for your... And then suddenly he just stops and he just says, thank you, God. And he starts weeping. And the tears are just flowing, just weeping. Lord. And she's so excited. She's weeping. She's on the phone to her dad, Daddy, you'll never guess what's happening. God's touched him in such a special way. It's just the beginning. We're not going to put a whole lot of pressure on them, but God has got his hook in the fish's mouth. Amen. He was straight onto the phone with me that night. Steve, you'll never guess what's happened. And I thought, the kingdom is advancing. The world needs a demonstration of the gospel. They need to see the authentic gospel coming from people like you and me who are not trying to be good Christians to bring them into the kingdom. Because that's the mistake. Whenever we think of demonstrating who Jesus is, we fall into this trap of, okay, well, that means I need to up my game a bit. I need to kind of improve my Christianity, because if I'm going to speak to others, the Bible says I first got to be perfect myself. So I've got to first get my own life perfect. So don't expect me to be witnessing or praying for other people until I've got my own life perfect. And then you wait until Jesus comes, because you'll never be perfect. You ugly thing. You'll never be perfect in your own ability or strength. So we have to discover that the only perfection we got is being secure in who Christ has made us. And that's what the world's looking for. They're not looking for people who are trying to be good moral people. They're tired of that. They've had enough of that. They know you shouldn't do this and shouldn't do that and shouldn't do that and come and be like me and you'll be happy like me because I don't smoke, I don't drink, I don't smoke dacha, and I don't party until 4 in the morning. They're tired of that. They just want people who radiate something different. And you know where that comes from? When you know who's living inside of you. And you know that he's made you 100% guilt-free before the Father, that you stand in righteousness, that as he is, so are you in the world, that you look in the mirror, you say, how are you, you good-looking brother of Jesus? If he was here on earth, he'd be so proud of having a twin brother just like you, and you and him would walk into the temple and kick those tables over, because as he is, so are you in this world. You and him would be on the same level, in the same class. Only difference is he was God in the flesh, and you just a Christian in the flesh. And all the world needs to see are people that are just radically transformed on the inside and not trying to be moral policemen. Hello? So what the world needs is you to be you. So I give myself permission to be me. But the you that knows that you're in the righteousness of Christ, you're seated in him, you're resting in the one who's already rested, There's no more perfection the Father can get from you because He's already declared you perfect. And of course He's changing you. And of course you land like a butterfly in the poop in the garden from time to time. But you don't live there anymore. And you don't see yourself living there anymore because you're a new creation. And your mind is being transformed and renewed and the lights have come on. And now you want to just be the real you and you will make an impact in the world. And that's the Jesus they're looking for. Amen. And when they see something, then you say, let me go show you my older brother. Come with me. Let me take you to my big brother. Because we're going to celebrate. We're going to celebrate him. Let me tell you what he did for you. And then you're going to discover who the glory is inside of you. And then you're going to start demonstrating it in your world and in your environment. That's what people are hungry for. Amen. Let's stand up together. Thank you, Lord, for 2012. A new year with new possibilities, new challenges, but certainly new opportunities. And thank you, Lord, that this year in this house, we want to be a people. They take every opportunity to celebrate. And we want to celebrate well. We don't want to apologize for what we celebrate. And Lord, that we will go on from glory to glory in our understanding of your presence in our life and what you've made us. That we have what you said we have. We can do what you said we can do. And we are who you said we are. And we pray, Lord, that what this world needs through a demonstration is not based on man's wisdom, but based on the demonstration of the power of the Holy Spirit. We pray for signs, wonders, and miracles to come flooding in, supporting this glorious message. That as people are born again into this kingdom, that Lord, we will see your kingdom invading. That we will see the sick healed. We will see the destitute healed. We'll see those broken brought in back into wholeness. I pray, God, in this house, we will see many lives restored and through our lives into this city and into this nation. We do. We want to commit this year. I pray for every person standing here now tonight. Maybe you've, if you're a leader, this is the third time you've heard the message. If you, because you would have heard it yesterday and this morning, but if you are just here tonight and you've heard it for the first time, I pray there be no gap in the revelation of what God wants for you going into 2012. I pray for that. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. And I want to ask you, just while you're standing there with your eyes closed, I want to ask you, have you been born again? Have you been born out of that kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of our God? Because there's an invitation tonight that goes out to you. That not only will you be forgiven when you put your faith in what Jesus did on the cross, but you'll be placed in a new family, a new kingdom, where you receive a new name, you receive a new identity, and you receive a new nature. If you don't think, you don't have assurance that you've been born again, look up at me, make eye contact. If you want me to pray for you in just a moment, and just in your heart, if that's you I'm talking to, just in your heart, now just say after me. We're going to all say this, but you're saying it for yourself. Others are saying it to encourage you. Okay? Say it for yourself. Father God, thank you for Jesus. Thank you that at the cross, His death was for me, and His death was as me. I was crucified in Christ. My sins were forgiven. Every sin I've committed in my past, my present or my future, was forgiven at the cross. I was declared innocent at the cross. But I've never taken hold of it for myself. But tonight I'm taking hold of it. I'm receiving this good news. That my spirit can be born again. In Jesus' name. I just want to pray a prayer of agreement. If you prayed that, for the first time tonight, or you know that God gave you faith to pray in a new way tonight, I want you to look up at me, make eye contact, because I want to pray a prayer of agreement just where you're standing. Father, right now in Jesus' name, I pray every person here who's prayed this meaningfully, intelligently, but through the gift of faith that you've given them, that you would transform a miracle in their lives right now. In Jesus' name I ask. Amen.